Today on Bear Podcast, we had an interview with a gay Navajo. Michael Sam, a college football player, comes out. Flappy Bird goes gold and killed. And from Revelation to The Walking Dead, welcome to Zombie 101. Stay tuned.
Bear Podcast, 505.
Hey, all you bears!
He steps into bumping the big hairy man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you against something. Scrub there, fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute, white, has
two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Yes, and welcome to episode 505.
Oh, wow. Five more episodes in the 500.
After 500. Yes. That's right. It's a February 11th on a Tuesday.
That's right. It is Valentine's week, folks. You got to, by the time the show's out, you got 2 days left. Figure it out quick.
Figure it out. Yes. Okay. So we have an awesome show for you guys today because we have an interview. We have a few voicemails. We have feedback and people calling in. It's just awesome.
It's just awesome. We're getting feedback. That's what we always want.
Okay. So let's do some weekend updates before we go on. This week, I did mention last week, I think that I'm joining the wave again. I'm playing softball again.
Mm-hmm. Which he said he wasn't going to do. He was retiring.
I thought I was retiring, but then it just so happened that, you know, my hubby convinced me, go out and play with the wave. Okay. And my friends from the wave.
You sure you didn't tell you just go play with yourself?
I can play with myself while playing with the wave.
That'd be interesting to get to go out.
Okay, so the wave is a de recreational team for the Montrose Softball League, and I'm back again. I'm again playing with the guys.
So by D, do you mean D cup?
D cup. D cup. D as in, I don't know.
or it's like,
we have boobs. No, we don't have boobs. Some do. Because we do have lesbians in the show, in the group. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I'm back to softball again, and I'm playing second base and probably a backup pitcher. Backup pitcher.
I figured he'd be a catcher.
Yeah, no, I never catch. I don't. Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Whatever.
Okay. So what is this? What about you? What's happening to you? What's up with you, Ray?
There's a lot been going on with me. First of all, I think I've done my first and only major Facebook drama.
Oh, really? Okay.
That I posted today. And for y'all that don't know, the last couple of weeks, me and Robbie have been having some issues. It got bad there for a little while. I broke it off. We decided that's not what we wanted. We wanted to work it out. So that's what we're doing. We're working on our relationship, our life together, and moving forward. And getting past the issues we were having. And I just had to put a little disclaimer out there on Facebook today to let some people know to basically fuck off is what I told them. But
basically fuck off.
But, I mean, it was all good. I mean, really, if your friends are having issues in their relationships and you're good friends, and unless it's something abusive or really out of whack, you will stand there and support them both and try to make sure that they're being supported. You're not standing there, one, trying to move in on the partner of the other one, telling them that it was a big mistake and all this other stuff, because only they can decide that and know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, I'm sure there are some examples out there where that's not the case, where abuse might be involved or other things and stuff. But for everybody that stood by us and kept quiet and just helped us, you know, been there and said, hey, we're there for you. If you need us, let us know. I appreciate that. It was a rough 2 weeks, but all that said and done, we're working on it and we're moving forward. So we're back together. So that was my drama for Facebook this week, mm-hmm. and hopefully forever.
Yeah.
And then this weekend, I went to go take my Toyota in to get the oil changed. And apparently there's a major recall for Toyota they were talking about. So hadn't heard anything about it, but I got to take it in. They got to do 3 hours worth of work to it.
What are they going
to
change?
I don't know. There's some drain line or something that it's too close to something and it melts, then it drips on the controller or something for the car and screws everything up. And the guy said, well, you know, ever since they've done this recall, we haven't seen this here. We haven't worked on it, but we're doing the maintenance like we're supposed to. So I got to schedule that. So if you have a Toyota Camry, check it out. Mine's a 2012. So
oh yeah,
get it straightened out.
Okay, that's good to hear that you're at least it's on their dime. Okay, what have you been watching?
Well, I went and watched my big girl movie, which is Vampire Academy, which are based on some books by Rachel Mead that somehow I fell into 5 years ago. And I think I was just really bored and I was going somewhere and I went to the bookstore because, you know, they really do used to have bookstores and you could go buy actual books from them. Mm-hmm. And I was walking by and I saw this Vampire Academy and I said, oh, you know, I like vampires and stuff. And so I bought this book. Well, it was a series of books. They've turned it into a movie. I actually liked the movie. I took Robbie with me. He actually thought the movie was okay. So
okay, let me ask you. Vampire Academy, that means it's a school.
It's a school.
So it's a night school.
Yes, it is a night school. Everything happens at night. It's about there are two in this world of vampires, there's two types of vampires. There's Morori and there's the ones that kill somebody and it changes them and makes them evil vampires.
Really?
And I can't remember what the name of those group is. And then to protect the Morori, or the Morok, however you say their damn name, I can't remember right now because I don't have it in front of me, is the Dampier, which are half human, half vampire.
How do you say it again?
They're half human, half vampire.
So what are their names? What are they called?
Dampiers.
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 Half human, half vampire. But aren't vampires from humans?
Well, here's the whole thing. They're in this series, they're kind of like another offshoot race of humans. They have to drink blood to survive. They have magical powers, but they pretty much have their own society, their own way of doing
stuff.
The Dampiers. The Dampiers are the guardians. Okay. The Mori are the other shoot. Okay. And then you have the ones that actually go out and kill people, and it makes them super strong and gives them some extra powers and stuff. But it's like these two whole societies, and they're fighting with each other. And the Dampiers are all there to protect the Mori from whatever can hurt them and the bad vampires.
So these half human half vampires, what can they do?
Well, they're
daywalkers.
Well, they're daywalkers. I mean, and the Mori can walk in day. It's just very irritating to them. I mean, they can be out in daylight. They get bad sunburn, it irritates them stuff. So everything works on their schedule. So they usually have school classes at night and everything like that. But the Dampier get trained. I mean, they start off and it's like a private school. The first three classes of the day is all about education, you know, school, chemistry, mm-hmm. all the stuff.
Okay.
And then the rest of the day, the Mori go off and they learn about magic, and the Dampier go off and learn how to fight and protect them.
Okay, interesting.
So, and then each Mori is usually assigned a guardian or guardians, depending on their rank and the group,
mm-hmm.
To protect them. Okay. So
Ray here is geeking out on
vampires. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting storyline. It's a little bit different from most. Read the books; they're great. Go see the movie. I highly recommend it. I thought it was good. Of course, they blow through a lot of stuff that they covered in the book in detail. So, but go see it. I highly recommend it. But you went and saw what? Are you going to see it? Or you watched it at home?
I watched it at home here. I watched Captain Phillips.
What did you think about it?
It was a good movie. I could not get my eyes off of it. It was really kind of thrilling. It's a good thriller. Although I know it happened in real life, but
yeah.
Then it was just action, every action. And oh, God, that the scene in the boat and everything, that was really intense. Everything's intense.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. Robbie watched it with his parents the last Tuesday while we were recording the show. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't get to see it. But.
Also, got to watch Walking Dead.
Yes,
Back. It's back. Walking Dead. I'm excited about it. I like it. I like it's pretty much similar to this part. It's pretty much similar to the comic book where they're trying to get together.
Yeah.
Although in the comic book, since you can flip the page, they get together really fast.
Yeah.
But here in the they make a whole episode or two episodes, probably they'll do that just to get together. It's gonna be hard for them.
I like this week's episode, but I think the whole individual stuff was drawn out a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd skip some of that stuff and went on and brought more people together. But I know they're milking it to make extra episodes for the season. So
okay, so let's move on. We have some topics here. Actually, before we go on, we'd like to announce Where the Bears Are, Kickstarter for Season 3. So I got an email from James. Thank you, James, for contacting me. So he talked about the Kickstarter. Actually, I got an email from Joe Deedle. He's one of the characters. He plays Wood in Where the Bears Are. And he's the one in charge of making the DVDs, the production and everything. So he contacted me because he needs a translator. So I translated the Kickstarter trailer. So the commercial, pretty much.
Okay.
So I helped him out. I'll probably translate for them also in Season 3, coming up soon. But, like I said, they're using Kickstarter. They have a $150,000 goal that they have to have everyone as much as... they have about 40,000, I think, even more maybe, followers on Facebook. If each person just donates $5, they're good to go. They can make Season 3. The problem with with Kickstarter... if you do not have enough pledges by March 1st, I think that's the last day, then you won't get the money. Then you won't get funded. But if you do reach that $150,000 before the deadline and everything, then you'll get funded. You have enough funding. So
post it on your Facebook pages, everywhere else that they're helping them out on Kickstarter.
Help them out. I'll put the links on the website for you guys to check out and. For you to donate if you can. So please help the guys, Joe Deedle, Ben Zook, and Rick Kopp. They're trying to produce Season 3, and the only way to do it is through Kickstarter. So I'll put the links on the website for you guys to check out. Okay, here we go. Is there an interview? Okay, we were talking about gay Navajos in the last episode, which Ray brought up, and talking about... how it is to live there as a gay man in reservations and everything, and how do they communicate using technology like Grindr or Growler or even Bear 411, whatever. Okay, so we have an interview right now with Taryn. He's actually a listener, and I was surprised that somebody was actually listening to the Gay Navajo episode, which is episode 504. So here is our interview with Taryn. Joining us today is Taryn. Hello, Taryn. How are you?
Hi there. I'm doing okay.
Doing okay? Okay. Great. So Taryn here is from Tuba City, Arizona. Is that where you are?
Yes, Tuba City, Arizona. It's on the western part of the Navajo Nation.
Interesting. Navajo. Okay. So we got a message from you. And we're happy to receive a message from you because it's very timely because we had episode 504 where we talked about gay Navajos. And it's just rare for us to actually talk to someone who was from the reservation. So
yeah. I know it's being current with all the stuff that is like, oh my God, somebody didn't respond 50 episodes ago and say, I like that article y'all talked about. So thank you. thank you. Tell us about life on the reservation. I mean... When we were talking earlier, I kind of said, you know, most people have no clue what it's like to live on a reservation. And if we do, it's probably from some bad Western movie we saw or something that probably wasn't anywhere close to what true life was like. So, in your words, tell us a little bit what it's like your life is there.
Okay. As far as the reservation goes, there's a lot of similarity movies in the movies, and you know, when you see the movies, it's pretty remote.
Yes.
It's really out in the middle of nowhere. Growing up on the res, I actually had a chance to actually spend time with my paternal side, grandma, grandpa. They had no electricity, no running water, and you pretty much do stuff to survive.
Oh, wow.
To survive, to keep alive, you know, get water, you know, from the wells. You know, you do stuff to, you know, keep yourself warm. You do stuff to, you know, eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
You do stuff to save, you know, to, you know, make your food go far. But again, it's pretty scarce. A lot of lack of resources, pretty much everything. But, you know, it kind of helped, you know, growing up in Tuba alone, though. You know, it's not like neighboring towns like Flagstaff or Page or, you know, they have all the necessities that you need, you know. Mm-hmm. They're easily accessible.
So for you to have fun or do something, you have to go to Flagstaff, pretty much.
Right. As I mentioned this weekend, we were talking, and me and my husband were going to Flagstaff. Mm-hmm. And that's just pretty much to a show event, like we'll watch a movie, you know, go to Walmart.
Oh, yes. You know, go to Walmart. Let's go to Walmart. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah.
So if you don't mind asking, how old are you?
I just turned big 40.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Okay, so you're close to our age. So you've been around a while.
You've been around.
In other words, instead of being around the block, you've been around the reservation for a while. So.
pretty much my life to the rest.
Yeah.
Reservation, except the times where I went to go meet my husband.
Oh.
Okay. Well, before we get talked to you about your husband, how did you meet other gay people on the reservation, or did you, or was it one of those things, oops, it just happened, or how did you meet other people to connect growing up and into your adulthood?
You know what, growing up, I wasn't really true to myself, you know. There was a lot of uncertainties, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I kind of, you know, just being the closet.
Oh, you are? Okay.
But as far as, you know, growing up, people were there, you know, other gay folks, they were there.
You knew them?
I did not pursue them. You know, I didn't go pursue, or I didn't go out and meet people. Oh. You know, I just stuck to myself.
Oh, you don't feed off your own kind, I guess.
Tempting, you know, it was always there, but I pursued it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Has that changed any? Over the course of you living there? I mean, have you got more comfortable with yourself where you're more openly gay where you're at, or?
A lot has changed. I'm pretty much open. You know, my family knows, my friend knows, my workplace, they know. So, you know, we move forward.
Yeah. It's really not a big deal then. Wow. Okay. That is awesome to hear.
Yeah. And coming and meeting and trying and meeting your partner and stuff, how did as far as the article we were talking about Growler and internet apps as a way to meet people, but you're still 100 miles away from somebody. How did this spot work for you? Or did you have any of this, or have you used this, any of those tools?
Mobile apps. I know you just mentioned, we talked about mobile and apps that were out there. I was telling Nard earlier this week, you know, only thing I've been using is phone text and Facebook, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But, prior to meeting my husband and all that stuff, some of the, websites I used to use was Bear 411.
Oh, Bear 411.
The site that shall not be named. Well, I mean,
today, you use these apps like Facebook and phone text mainly to, you know, find support for, you know, monogamous relationship and talk to, you know, like-minded.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, most people, I guess, you know, we've gotten so used to it, and it's been such a part of our life, I guess. But the mobile apps have really only been around, what, 5 years, six, seven
yeah,
years well, at the most now?
5 years, maybe 4 years, five years.
Where mm-hmm. they're real heavily used, and they've taken on their own life. Like, Growler came along 3 or 4 years ago, and then Scruff, and then, you know, Jacked, and all the rest of them that you can name came out. So, you know, I guess it's different depending on your age and how you deal with stuff than somebody younger today right. having to do this and somebody our age having to do this now. Mm-hmm. So how did you meet your husband? And how long have y'all been together?
I believe it's 2001. I met him on Bear 411. And then since that time, until 2006, we just chatted on Yahoo Chat.
Yahoo Chat.
The good old days.
The good old days of Yahoo Chat. Oh my God. Yahoo Messenger.
In 2006, I actually met him in person in Scottsdale, Arizona. I drove 230 miles to go see him.
230 miles?
230 miles.
That's like going to Dallas from Houston. That's, oh my gosh, it's about 4 hours, 5 hours.
True love.
True love. Oh my God.
Knows no bounds.
It's a good drive.
It's a good drive.
But I guess it was worth it.
Right. And we've been together for this September will be our 8th year together.
Oh,
well, congratulations.
Okay, I should tell you, Terran, I've been together with my partner for 11 years, more than 11 years. And he lives in New Orleans, I live in Houston, and we've been making it work, and I could see how it's working for you too. And right now you are together though, right? You moved in together, I guess?
Right. He lives here with me, mm-hmm. in Tennessee, for the past 2 years. Before that, I actually moved to Scottsdale to be with him.
Ah.
Actually, I'm with him for 2 years.
Scottsdale. Okay. Well, that's good to hear. That's awesome. Yeah. And congratulations. You guys are going forward 8 years. That's awesome.
Yeah. That is very good.
Right. And also it's been 6 months that we're married. We got married in California.
Oh, sweet. Congratulations.
Congratulations. It's been six Thank months.
You. I married Maynard a year and a half ago now, or almost 2 years ago now.
Well, he's our solemnizer, our sodomizer. Our solemnizer.
No, I don't sodomize people.
Yeah. Not today.
Not today.
Not today. So Ray is the one, is our minister, our solemnizer. Yeah. He married me and Mike back in last year, 2012. Yeah.
Yeah, 2012. Not last year.
Not last year. In 2012.
How soon they forget.
So how does it feel to be married, to, you know, just 6 months ago? The same?
It does make you realize, you know, what wasn't there before. You know,
oh, okay.
It strengthens the relationship even more. We're even closer.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so our last question is actually for you. What advice can you give to other people who also live in reservations or people who are in remote areas? I mean, how do you get by?
I would say, know what you're getting into, you know, as far as relationship goes, and also the distance. One might have to travel, you know, especially here on the reservation, you know, from one part of the rib to the other side for like 6 hours, mm-hmm. 6 hours drive, so it's a big place. Whether just be yourself, you know, be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. I would say patience as well, you know, be patient. Now things will start rolling. Things will come around, mm-hmm. and I say, be open. You know, be positive. Be optimistic.
Okay.
Eventually, you know, it will happen.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing with us. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you, Terrence, for your time.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
See, we're not as bad as people portray us as being.
Yeah, not too bad.
We're just badasses on the podcast, not anywhere else.
Okay, so thank you again, Terran, and we'll talk to you later, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you, Terran, for being in the show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for listening to the show.
Yes.
That's the kind of feedback we need from people. So
see people who are really, you know, connected. I mean, he's there. He's a live guy in the same in what we're talking about. So it's just awesome. It's just awesome to hear from Terran. Thank you, Terran. Okay. All right. Let's move on with some events. Actually, it's from Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh.
Okay. It's called the North American Bear Weekend. It's going to be on February 20th. Hundreds of sexy furry men and their admirers will invade Lexington, Kentucky this February for our third annual North American Bear Weekend. Enjoy a four-day, fun-filled, action-packed weekend of fun, fur, and frolic at the luxurious Crown Plaza Hotel. We have pool parties, underwear dance party. Oh, that's nice. Cocktail parties, bourbon tastings. Of course, you can get bourbon. They have bourbon.
Bourbon. Well, depends on where they're in Kentucky, because some parts are dry counties. So.
Oh, really?
And I think some part of Lexington is dry.
Yeah. Oh, Mike used to live there, Lexington, Kentucky. No, wait. Where was he? Lexington? What's a big city in Kentucky? Besides Lexington.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, Mike, I actually studied American history and geography.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so bourbon tastings. Strippers. They have bear strippers.
Wow.
6 free meals and much more. And we will have plenty to keep you entertained. We also crowned the Mr. North American Bear at our signature nationally recognized contest. Save the date and make plans to attend this wild weekend in Lexington, Kentucky. The website is mrnabear.com. I think it's Mr. North American Bear. Mr. N.A. Bear. mrnabear.com.
And our other event this week is Fairfleet 007.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, the 27th of February for 4 days in Superior, Wisconsin, United States. The North Country Bears continue to provide guys from the upper Midwest and points beyond with their winter weekend destination. Fairfleet is now in its 7th year. Some 200 bears and their bear-centric descends on the Barkas Island Inn in Superior, Wisconsin for 3 days of fun and frolic around the indoor pool and spa and special nights at local bars, all wrapping up with a spectacular poolside dance and light show. This is a party you definitely don't want to miss. We're excited to be able to keep the pricing the same as last year. The price is $80 right now from February 1st to the 26th, and you can go register at www.ncbears.com. That's ncbears.com.
Okay. So if you are if you're a club or you know of anyone who works for a club and you're having an event, we would like to promote it. We help you promote it. So email us, events@bearpodcast.com. Give us the details, and we'll talk about it in the show. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. All right. So who wants to take the gay?
Do you want to take the gay. And we'll read about it, and then we're going to go into talking with Mike, which we had our earlier interview recorded. So, anyway, if you've been buried under a rock this week, Michael Sam, college football star and top NFL prospect, says he's gay. Michael Sam, an All-American defensive lineman from the University of Missouri, publicly revealed that he's gay Sunday, creating the possibility he'll be the first openly gay player drafted by the National Football League. "I came to tell the world I'm an openly proud gay man," he said in an interview with ESPN. He said he told his Missouri teammates in August and suffered no repercussions. He said he was surprised to discover many people in the media already knew he was gay. "I understand how big this is," Sam said in the ESPN interview. "It's a big deal. No one has done this before, and it's kind of a nervous process. But I know what I want to be. I want to be a football player in the NFL."
Cool.
So that's big news. We got a
Right now,
prospect that could potentially get drafted into NFL.
I think he will be. I think he will be. I mean, I think they're going to fight for him even to make a point for those football teams to make a point that, hey, we don't care about him being gay. We just want him to be because he's a good player. I mean, that's my opinion. So this is rare. This is a rare occasion that we actually have a football fan to chime in. So here is my partner, Mike, to tell us what he thinks about Michael Sam being drafted. Joining us today is my hubby Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, Mikey. Hey.
What are you doing right now? Are you cleaning the house before we arrive there?
Yeah, it's Mardi Gras, so I need to deep clean for all the guests.
Oh, that's right. Okay. We kind of have to. All right, so
I'm kind of hoping everybody will be drunk enough they really won't notice if I miss anything. But
yeah, that'll work, yeah. Okay, so one of our articles is about Michael Sam, the college football star who's potentially going to be drafted. So he's also an out gay man now. And so what do you think? What do you think? Will he have any chance to get drafted?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get drafted. I don't doubt that at all. He was, projected to be like a third round draft pick. I mean, he was really good. You know, college player, he's an All-American, and I think he was Defensive Player of the Year in the SEC. So, I mean, he's really good, and I don't have any doubt he'll get drafted. But there might be a couple of teams that would pass, because of this. But if he starts to slip a little bit lower, there's definitely going to be teams that are going to say, "Well, look, too good to pass up, so they'll take him. I think more than anything, what teams are going to be, it's not him being gay, but they might be worried about the distraction of having him on the team, which is really unfortunate, you know. But
he would be a distraction. You know,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to find an article because I was reading it before I left work, and I meant to copy it and paste it, and I didn't. But one of the articles, one of the retired football players said, well, if the issue with him being gay and the news media around it is going to be an issue on the team, then the team's already done lost because players are in the heat all the time. And if this is just one more thing added to it, it shouldn't be that big a deal. So, mm-hmm. And I'll try to find the article so I can post it on the show. But
yeah,
I thought that was a pretty good saying that if it's that big of an issue now, then the team's already has issues to start with, and they're not going to be a good team, cohesive team to start with. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Mike, what do you think? Who do you think would pick him up? Any chance? Any guess?
Oh, I don't even know who. You know, I don't know any team that would necessarily have, you know, a need for him on the team specifically right now. But I mean, there's teams that if you look at a team like the New England Patriots, they have taken all kinds of players that have a variety of issues. And, you know, Bill Belichick, I think, does a good job of working with, you know, if a guy's got talent, he's not going to let the other stuff distract him. He'll work with the player, you know. And so, you know, he could probably do well at a team like New England, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot of teams he'd probably do fine with.
Okay. Well, okay, so thank you for chiming in on our sports segment. Oh, how often do we have a sports segment?
Not often.
Wait. This is episode, what,
505? Yeah.
Yes. And we've talked about sports before.
Every 505 shows, you have a sports segment.
No, we talk about it more often than that. Last year, we talked about a bunch of gay in the NFL. So
gay athletes who
I think the first time we got outside opinions.
Yes, that's right. So whenever it comes to sports, when it comes to figure skating and rhythm exercises, that's when we call you. How's that?
Yeah. And RuPaul's Drag Race.
Isn't figure skating on the Olympics tonight?
Oh yeah, that's right. We'll do that. I mean, we'll give you a call. I mean, we'll. Have you been watching the Olympics lately?
I haven't been watching figure skating. I've been watching speed skating and freestyle skiing. I could be a good speed skater. I want to do that short track speed skating because when they're going around so close together, they have to reach out their hand and put it on the butt of the guy in front of them. I'd love to be pretty good at that.
Yeah, but see, you'd put it on the button on the guy in front of the little hot squat thick Asian in front of you and not let go. That's the problem.
So you want to be second place all the time, huh? Okay.
You have to let go at some point, Mike. You just have to let it go.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike, for being on the show.
For being in the show. And thank you for chiming in. It's rare that we have Mike in the show. I've had Mike in the show before when we would record. It was an audio-only podcast.
Yeah.
We would record in bed or something and talk about walking around the back room of somewhere. Something like that.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, okay. Oh, this is really special to me, the geek.
Yes, I saw this the other day and I was like, oh, Lord. And people are pissed off about this.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm pissed off myself, too. I mean, I don't understand what's going on in his head. Okay, here we go. Flappy Bird's creator, Map App, made App gold because it's, you know, earning a lot. And then he killed it. Okay, so the saga of Flappy, the saga of Flappy Bird, the notoriously frustrating game by .gears, that rocketed on the top of iTunes last month has come to a mysterious end. Not so mysterious. Everybody knows why.
Yeah.
On Saturday, Dong Nguyen, the games developer, tweeted that he planned to remove Flappy Bird from iTunes. I'm sorry, Flappy Bird users, Dong wrote on Twitter, 22 hours from now, I will take Flappy Bird down. I cannot take this anymore. So the game has since been pulled from iTunes. I think it's also pulled out from the Android, from the Google Play Store also. So Dong's tweet, I like his name's Dong. Dong's tweet may be a reference to speculations that bots were used to artificially boost the game's download ranking in iTunes. Maybe, maybe not. It's really addictive to many people, for many people. So for months after Flappy Bird was released in May, it performed poorly. Then in November, and several other Dot Gears titles began to climb the ranks on the, of the ranks of the iTunes store. January 17th, Flappy Bird reached number one, and its peak, the game, at its peak, the game was reportedly pulling in as much as $50,000 a day in ad revenue, according to Times. $50,000 a day, and you want to quit because I cannot take it anymore. What's going on in his head?
He's a bigger drama queen than I am.
I mean, if I had that, I'd be quitting my job.
That sounds like the developer's gold mine there. You make something. It took a while to get up there, but hell, $50,000 a day for, you get that for a couple months. I mean, you've pretty much paid yourself for the app and the headaches to some of it.
Yeah, I mean, well, right now, okay, he's still earning. I'm sure he's still earning $50,000 a day still.
How? But, nobody's paying for it.
But people already downloaded.
Well, that's right. They're down. He's getting this off ads.
He's getting off of ads, but then he took it down. So people who already, probably the millions who already downloaded it, he's making money off of them still. So it's still $50,000 a day, but he could be having more if you keep selling it. Oh, not selling it. If you keep it on the app store, get it go, and probably you'll earn $100,000 a day.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just can't take it. I can't take having so much money. Well, I don't know. Maybe if he donates it, then donate it, right? Yeah. If you don't want the money, don't want the attention, right, donate your money.
So,
or sell it.
Well, here's what I got. Apparently, the game. Do you play the game?
Oh yeah, I have it there in the iPad.
Okay,
we're gonna play it later.
The reviews I saw people talking about it on the news and stuff. They were like, "This game pisses them off so bad because it's so hard to get through,
mm-hmm.
and they have to keep starting over." And one of the comments was, "I'm really pissed now because I used to get pissed off the game and delete it off my phone for a week or two, and then add it back and start playing again, but now I can't delete it anymore because then it'll be completely gone."
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you in the iCloud, you can still download it. If it's one of your downloads, it's under the Purchase tab. I think you can still download it. But then if you're a newcomer going in, you cannot download it anymore. So it's in your cloud. It's in your iCloud already, I think. I guess, but I don't know about the Google Play Store for Android users.
I'm sure if he pulled it, he pulled it off everything.
Yeah.
One would assume.
Yeah, but if you still have it in your phone, actually, what's happening right now, people are selling their phones for thousands of dollars because they have a working Flappy Bird on their phone. And I'm sure people...
I just want to know, Mike and I would like to know, Maynard, why haven't you come up with an app like this?
I do not know. Why? Oh, I have an excuse for this because I'm playing softball again this year. The reason
I think if you'd come up with an app that made $50,000 a day, Mike would say, screw softball.
Screw
softball. I think Mike would say that.
I told him about that. I cannot make an app now because I have my Sundays filled up again because I wanted to do an app.
Maybe you can make like an app about back hair or something where people have to do certain things to get the back hair knitted or...
Back hair knitting?
Something like that.
That's right.
Something like that.
Let me write that down.
So, everybody remember, I get proceeds from this just because came up with the idea.
Okay, that's right.
And intellectual property.
And nobody steals it, okay?
Nobody steals it.
If you guys listening or watching.
Although, one of my biggest things about when John and I was together... When he first got his thing as the app designer, I said, we really need to do one that uses the GPS so people can see where who's next to each other and they can stuff. And he said, they'll never allow it. Within 12 months, Scruff came out.
Yeah.
And then Growler came out. Mm-hmm. And then all the rest of them came out.
He could have done it.
Could have done it.
Oh, my God. He could have been making
millions. But, you know.
I wonder how much – I'm sure, you know. Growler, Coley might still be earning the same thing, like $40,000 a day because of ads.
They don't tell us. I mean, apparently Johnny Scruff's doing good because he's hired developers. He's traveling all the time.
And he lives in New York.
And he bought a really nice place in New York if you've seen the pictures on Facebook.
Oh, so I'd like to be Johnny Scruff now. Anyway, okay, let's move on to the bizarre.
All
right,
this is not really bizarre. It's more odd because we've actually talked about the apocalypse stuff before.
It's still bizarre.
In school, but it is kind of bizarre. But a Michigan college offers a course in zombies and the apocalypse.
Why? some don't know what to do. Well, get a shotgun or something. So,
some Central Michigan University students are getting schooled in the undead this semester thanks to a religion course that's exploring apocalyptic themes in biblical texts, literature, and pop culture.
I'm just
because
this
all
now.
Of this kind of does relate, believe it or not.
Where in the Bible are zombies? Oh, I know one zombie. Okay. There are two zombies. Okay.
Philosophy and religion faculty member Kelly Murphy said she always wanted to teach a course on apocalyptic literature, and she's a fan of AMC's TV show The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. The result is Murphy's class, which is called From Revelation to The Walking Dead. Think about the end and imagine life in a different way as something that humans have always done, Murphy said in a university release. Murphy's class will discuss biblical texts, review popular novels, and watch clips from movies such as Shaun of the Dead and 28 Days Later. She should be including World War Z in there because that's a good take on it too. Because Robbie was watching that last night. Students will also discuss hypothetical ethical and theological problems that people could encounter in a post-apocalyptic world, which is very true. I mean, even on the shows, we see that people have that people lost their faith that had it before, or maybe they didn't really have it and they found it, and what changes it brings in them. So,
and also having to have a loved one turn into a zombie,
and dealing with it, you know,
dealing with it, yeah.
The prevalence of apocalyptic stories in various media gives us a window into what people are worrying about, what they hope for, and how they imagine they would react in the face of a cataclysmic event, Murphy said. In the same way, we can read the book of Revelation and learn what ancient Jewish and Christian groups were concerned about. Kevin White, a senior from the Detroit suburb of St. Clair Shores, majoring in political science and religion, said it's important to incorporate popular culture into classroom settings because it helps to give students a way to connect with subjects of study. Studying ancient biblical texts isn't most people's cup of tea, he said. But when you add zombies, it instantly becomes everyone's cup of tea.
Okay, where in the Bible, in Revelation, that it says anything about zombies? Find in the New Testament? I could think of, you know.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is the book of Revelations is the end of times.
Yeah.
Zombie apocalypse is a modern translation of the end of times.
Okay.
So everything, even in Revelations, it goes through all these steps that you have to go through before the final end. And all the zombie movies, there's all these steps that you have to be like, do you have to kill your one of your family members because they've been turned? What happens to society? How does it break down? Mm-hmm. I mean, all these elements are very similar and they're all talked about. And they're all projections of what people are thinking about things will be like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like, my kind of analogy is to it watching the original Battlestar Galactica and watching the one that was done by on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Which one? Which story did you like?
Well, I liked them both. I mean, because they're both independent for the original one for being what it was, and the new one for taking it places that the original at that time couldn't. Because the original one was all happy and the fathers and, you know, everybody was happy traveling through space and we were fighting the Cylons. Of course, all our family died, but we had this stuff. But the new one got into all these dark places like child prostitution, drugs, how people relate to stuff.
Religion,
all this kind of stuff.
So it's
this whole thing that, you know, it's kind of like a retelling of stuff and comparing and what's going on in the world.
You have a point there that they went to places where the old Battlestar Galactica wouldn't have.
Because times are different.
Yeah. So now it's more modern. Okay. So interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a religion class. That
which I think it's awesome because when I was in college, I took an Alfred Hitchcock class, which most people think, why'd you take a class on Alfred Hitchcock in the movie? Because he was an incredible director. Some of his stories were incredible, and what he did with them and telling that tale was awesome. Mm-hmm. But people are like, why would you want to take that? And I said, because it teaches you about people. His stuff was suspense and telling you about how he treated people and how people relate to each other when stuff happens. So. Mm-hmm. About the human element. So anyway, on to voicemails.
Let's have some voicemails here. Here's a voicemail from Chris.
Hi, my name is Chris Ransville, and I've been listening to the show pretty faithfully since about 4:50, and I've listened to some back episodes. I really enjoyed Ray's mother being on. I thought that was really fun to listen to, and I just enjoy listening at work. It keeps me up to date with what's going on, and something oddly reassuring about the routine of it. So keep up the good work. I really enjoy listening to it more and more. And I hope you get some more calls. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. And my mother enjoyed being on the show. So.
Oh, she did? Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully, eventually, at some point, we'll have her back.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome. Maybe Mother's Day. Oh, we can have her again.
That's right.
We can play a game with her or something.
Oh.
But anyway, so thank you, Chris. He's been listening for more than a year now, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 450. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So here's another voicemail from Norman.
Hi. My name is Norman.
Hi, Norman.
My other half and I moved from California about 5 years ago to here to Arkansas, Clarksville, Arkansas. And about 3 years ago, he passed away. I've gotten very lonely. Have you tried to find gay people in southern part of Arkansas? I know up north there's a place to meet. But anyway, have you got any ideas how to meet people? I consider myself a baby bear, and I would like to have a bear partner. Anyway, I don't know. I can't leave a phone number, I suppose. But maybe there's some way you can answer it on your show. Anyway, thank you. Bye.
One word. Craigslist.
No.
If
you want sex and you got a Craigslist, run all that shit down. Norman, that's a hard one. I mean,
we
have friends from all over the world, and in rural places it's harder to meet. The best place to chat and try to meet, I guess, if you're remote, is some of the chat sites. The 411 that we shall not name.
Really? Still?
Some of the others, but
Bear www. There's a new one, Chaseable. There's also Bear Underground. There's so many online.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different things. So if you don't have the depending on your age and where you fall into, I know some people don't feel comfortable being on doing the growler stuff and the scruff stuff and stuff like that. Which I will admit, a lot of those apps, just because the way gay cultures go to it, is more towards hookups, but you can meet people on there and have an ongoing friendship that you chat. It doesn't have to be sex or anything. I know, because I met several good people on there and became friends with them, and nothing like that happened. But I guess the best thing as far as meeting there is the main thing is being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. It's all
I mean, get involved in your local community. Find stuff that's out. I mean, it might not be specifically gay, but I guarantee you there are gay people there. There might be closeted. They might, it might be something, but there are things to do to meet people. The biggest thing to meet somebody and get out there is to put yourself out there and do it. And it's not always easy, I know. Mm-hmm. And depending on what age, I mean, younger generations, they seem to do it better. It was hard for me when in the 80s and stuff and 90s when I was coming out and trying to be gay and didn't know what the hell to do and was scared and, and it was still, you could get the shit beat out of you. Not that that can't happen now, but it's a lot more open now. And I think the biggest thing is just find a way to put yourself out there. Try to find some friends. Maybe, even if you're just chatting online, at least maybe somebody knows somebody of a friend, or they know places around where you are more locally that can help you out. So that's the best advice I can give you.
I would think that being on Facebook, it really helps. That helps a lot in our circle here, because we use Facebook a lot, especially Houston Bears, our local group here. We have events every week or every other week. And also there are bear runs that we sometimes talk about in the show. There are bear runs we talk about. There could be one near you, and you might want to go there. There's about sometimes 200 people going. It's from Arkansas, so what's near there? I guess there is one in Arkansas. I'm sure there's a bear group in Arkansas. There's always a bear group somewhere.
But the whole thing is you can get on there and meet people.
Yeah.
So like if you can and have the funds and the ability and the means to, say like you want to go to Dallas for the weekend or somewhere to visit, then you can have people ahead of time that you already have talked to, know, they can meet you out, they can tell you places to do. And it's all about networking. So once you get into networking, it helps a lot.
So Growler really helps. Growler, Grinder, Scruff, all those online, but because you already have it in your phone and you can actually download it and sign up and everything. It's so
if you
easy.
Have the, if you have a smartphone. We can't
always assume.
We can't always assume.
But who doesn't have a smartphone these
days? A lot of people don't have smartphones.
But a lot of people has one.
But a lot of them do. So
okay.
On the assumption you have that, we always suggest that.
But what if other people who don't have internet? So they can't do online stuff too?
Well, it's, if you don't have internet that or dial-up, yes, it is.
You have a bigger problem.
You have a bigger problem. And we laugh, but it is true. There are places, I mean, that have that issue, so...
But then he was talking about this so we could address it in the show. That means he's watching it. He does have internet.
Yeah, he can download the show some way. So, okay. So that's it. The biggest thing is just put yourself out there and make friends. And when it's supposed to happen, it'll happen.
And in your profile, make it nice. Not nice, but simple. Not too cheesy, not too raunchy. Like, you know, I like walks on the beach and holding hands, watching the sunset, and getting pounded in the ass. No, don't do that. No, don't.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
Confidence is a big
confidence. Term. Just say, introduce yourself and what do you like. What do you like do you regularly, like movies, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep it simple. Don't bash the reader. I've seen a lot of that in Growler, say, if you do not do this and that, then I won't talk to you. I mean, you're bashing the reader already. Right?
Well, a lot of the stuff is if people put profiles on there, read them. Some people put short ones or couple blurbs. Some people will write a whole life novel, and it's more information than you probably ever want to know.
And then you chat them and say hi.
Hello. Yeah.
One word.
So, but I mean, the thing is, you have to put yourself out there. But if somebody comes there and says, "Hey, I'm not into this," and that's what you're looking for, don't message them expecting to get that, because they are pretty much most people know what they want. So, mm-hmm. Just use common sense.
And
that's
also
what most people lose online, I think.
And if you like someone in those apps, do not unlock your pictures immediately. If you have R-rated pictures, do not. People don't like that.
Yeah.
But some people use that to say hello. I mean, hello, showing their junk and everything.
Yeah.
So no, don't do that.
I don't. When I was on there, when people did that, I just kind of ignored them because, you know what? I got a dick. I can look at mine all day long. It might not be the most biggest and impressive thing, but I like it. It's done well for me over the years.
Even so, at work? You look at it at work?
Of course I look at it at work. Gotta have something to do.
In the conference room? The
conference room, yeah.
While everybody's there.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I need to look at my...
Hang on, I gotta run to the restroom real quick.
Okay.
Check my job. So, but no. So, but I guess
oh, it's still there.
Yeah, but the biggest thing, Norm, is put yourself out there.
Yep.
Be confident. Put yourself out there. Not everybody you talk to is going to be a friend or somebody you want to talk to forever. There are a lot of assholes in the world. I know I'm probably one of them, but it's shit like that you just have to learn, kind of build some stuff up to get yourself out there to meet people.
Okay. Here's the thing. If you want to meet you listeners out there who are not Norman may be watching this. So if you want to meet Norman, if you're interested with this baby bear that called us and left a voice message, email us, show@bearpodcast.com. So we could probably forward it to him, but then I don't know how to forward it to him because he didn't leave. He'll listen to the show, so he'll probably email me his how to email him
so
directly.
Send us your contact information, Norman, and then we will, if anybody responds to this, we'll forward that information on to you, and y'all can work it out from there.
Yep, that's right. Okay.
Valentine's week.
That's why he wants to meet someone, because it's
Valentine's week. So we'll play Cupid. So anyway, now on to email. We got any emails?
Oh, no emails. Actually,
okay.
We should go to shout-outs.
Shout-outs. Okay.
Shout-outs, okay. Special thanks to Taryn and Ted. Thank you, Ted, for lending us Taryn for a few minutes to talk about his life there in Tuba City. Is it Tuba City? In Arizona. Also, Sam. Yes, he contacted me by email, actually. He was watching us in the Roku player.
Yay, Roku!
People are watching in a Roku player. Yes, I mean, that's rare. I mean, some people are watching via a Roku player or listening to the show. Mostly people are listening to the show, but then there's some people who watch it. And one of the avenues besides Vimeo, and YouTube is also the Roku player. Also, Steven, a friend of mine, will be going to New Orleans this weekend, so I'm excited about that. And of course, my hubby, Mikey.
Go, Mikey.
Thank you, Mike, for being in the show and giving us some insight about football.
Football, that's right.
Gay football players. Yeah, okay. So,
our condolences out to Patrick and Jerry. They lost one of their pets this weekend, Sanford. I know it's hard when you lose a pet, so it's like losing a child to some people, and wish y'all the best on that and know that we're with you. To Robbie and everyone that stood by us these last few weeks, thanks. We appreciate the love and the help you've given us. And to Robbie's dad on his 88th birthday, happy birthday.
Yes, okay. Happy birthday,
Robbie. And happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
So,
yes, I'm excited about this Valentine's Day. I'm going to see Mike.
That's right.
Okay, so I guess that wraps up the show. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call like Norma did and leave us a message on our voicemail. And that number is 206-222-2327. 206-222-BEAR. Leave us a voice message on and we'll play it on the show. So look forward to hearing from y'all. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to Norman, email us on that one because it'd be a lot easier to forward those than a voicemail.
If it's a if it's an erotic audio, oh, it will be played.
That's right.
If it's an erotic, oh, Norman, oh, I want you. You can do that. You can do that. Yeah. It's okay. Okay. Also, subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube, and you can watch the show on Roku Player and listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and the Bear Radio Network. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Happy Valentine's, everyone. And thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Okay, say 1, 2, 3.
Uno, dos, tres.
Okay, here we
That's
go.
That's not good there.
Oh, no, the other way. No, the other way. That way. There.
I'm not used to all this Mac stuff. I'm lost. I'll just do it. Go ahead. I was just talking bullshit.
Oh, God. I thought you were being serious now.
Okay, here we go.
So how do you play this game?
You tap the screen.
Oh, shit. It's a tapper. I bet somebody else has this one.
Oh. Yay. Try again.
Oh, shit. Oh.
This sucks.
No wonder people hate this game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Okay, give it a try. Just press play.
I don't play games as well.
Okay.
I'm gonna be a game player.
You tap.
See, that's why I hate video games.
Keep trying.
Like this shit.
Damn, Asian.